and welcome to JFG Tonight. How are you doing, people, on the regular chat? Tonight I'll be reviewing Barbie. I've been going to watch Barbie, and Armless G says Oppenheimer review as well. Certainly, when I see it. Today I decided to go see Barbie. I don't know, is Oppenheimer in theaters yet? I didn't see any sign of this, but maybe it is. Maybe it's later. Anyways, I will certainly watch Oppenheimer, and then we can do a comparative analysis of the two movies, since the Barbenheimer meme has been so strong. Perhaps I could do a comparative analysis of the script of the two movies. Rodilacid says, she's not Asian, she's not attractive to me. Aquanote says, Margot Robbie has lesbian physiognomy. Can't put my finger on it. Yeah, I mean, she has these, she has features of her body that are kind of masculine jaw. I think people were pointing this in a past show. I would agree. She has masculine features, but she hides them well. And at her age, to be so beautiful is an accomplishment. And I remember her from The Wolf of Wall Street, just perfect, beautiful woman. So I consider that she is an extremely beautiful woman. James says, no, you guys are just incels. She is hot. Yeah, she is definitely hot. You know, the role that she played in Wolf of Wall Street, I don't know that we've ever had a role of a more stereotypically sexy just woman, the kind of woman who would marry the millionaire that is the guy played by Leonardo DiCaprio in The Wolf of Wall Street. So I think she is pretty much up there in terms of female sexiness for actresses. And yeah, the people who try to evaluate her lower than this, I think they are, I don't know, they're dealing with something internally. I think they may be trying to enact a strategy to reduce the value of women on the market, which is reasonable. That is reasonable, but it's not reasonable objectively to say that Margot Robbie is not a 10 out of 10. She is a 10 out of 10. Of course, she's getting old, so that wouldn't mean you would want to date her, but that would mean that she was a 10 out of 10 in her 20s, for sure. All right, so I have a very complex view of this movie. I am shocked by this movie. It's not as simple as people want it to be. This movie is not a one-layer movie. It's not even a two-layer movie. It's a movie. I'll just clip to get started on the review. All right, so the Barbie movie is a very complex stimulus. A very complex stimulus that is not simple to understand. And the early comments on it being a feminist thing, being a leftist crappy movie, I disagree. It is not a leftist movie. A lot of the toxic leftism shows up in this movie. But to me, just like was the case for American History X, you know, they show Jews, they show Nazis in American History X. But if you really want to conclude, what is the sense, what is the moral sense presented by the movie? Because who's the villain and who's the hero? You have to ask yourself this. And who's the villain, who's the hero, and how do they become a hero will matter to the moral sense of the movie, which is why I've concluded that American History X was not a Jewish subversive movie trying to mock neo-Nazis. It was a Jewish written movie that seeked to empathize with neo-Nazis and that seek to present a truly hero position for the neo-Nazis. I will say that Barbie is pretty much the same. It is Something that leaves plenty of material for the leftists out there to be satisfied. They've heard their little punch joke on transgenderism. They've heard their little punch joke on the patriarchy. They've learned, they have a whole movie here which frames a war of the sexes that will satisfy them. But the question is, to the naive observer of this movie, am I being presented a movie that tries to moralize me into leftism being the way to go? Is the hero of this movie a leftist? And I have to say that my answer is no. My answer is no. And despite the temptations of leftism that are presented to Barbie across the movie, what we get to understand is that the deep message of this movie is that feminist liberation will only send you toward more hell, toward a greater cage. There is no such thing as freedom. We are all plastics, and try to escape this object that you think people are looking at, because the whole idea is that Barbie is an object of desire and she wants to become human. But liberate yourself from this, you get into the greater cage of heterosexual reproduction. And the maker of Barbie at the end of the movie, I don't know if she's the real maker or if she's an actress playing the maker of Barbie, but there's an old woman and they claim in the movie that she is the true maker of Barbie. And she appears and she gives the chance to Barbie to become a real human or to stay an object of desire forever. And Barbie chooses to become human with the feelings, with the mortality of it. But the first thing she does as a human, and that's the end of the movie, she gets pregnant. And the maker of Barbie is talking about the plastic things and the artificiality of this world. And she criticizes even the artificiality of Barbie. And she says, you know, Barbie, the patriarchy, this is all a plastic world, but I'm going to bring you to LA and you're going to see as a real human that the world of real humans also is a plastic world. And that all that matters, that's what she says to Barbie at the end, all that matters are going to be the children you leave on this earth. So you have the maker of Barbie saying, yes, there is artificiality. Yes, there is superficiality in the world. And yes, Barbie, as an object of desire, is a ridiculous capitalist enterprise. But what truly matters is baby making. And she says to Barbie, you can become human. You can have all those feelings. But you're going to find that if you don't make babies, there's nothing, there's no meaning to your life. And the real world is just equally made of plastic. So what we have here is a deeply heterosexual movie in 2023, as explicit as it gets. Now, before we get there, we have a whole movie of War of the Sexes in which there are two universes in this movie. It's super complex physics. So I'm stunned by the complex physics of Barbie. We need to talk about it because it's not even physics. It's not even metaphysics. It's pataphysical. What's happening in this movie. It is a mockery of the kind of multi-universe type of movies, and it is there are references to The Godfather, references to The Planet of the Apes, references to some of the iconic movies, and I love it. I love it how they refer to all these movies. So I will take you through the whole story that leads to Barbie getting pregnant. But I'll tell you that, to me, whatever could have happened in this movie, if at the end Barbie is pregnant, if at the end the world of plastics that she leaves is not patriarchy world, it's actually this war of the sexes as a whole that she abandons, and she finds her Ken in reality who knocks her up, then it's a heterosexual movie as far as I'm concerned. And then they have properly settled the hero position as heterosexuality. So you can put me You know, diversity, hiring actors, black, Asians, all you want. You can show me an LA of diversity and people with brown hair and people who are brown. And you can put me 5 transgender in Barbie house if you'd like. I don't give a shit. As long as the hero gets knocked up, that's a hetero movie and I stand by it. James says, I'm a Barbie girl in a Barbie world full of plastic. It's fantastic. This is peak female black-pilled view of the world. It's not so black-pilled. It is females, and this is what we see in this movie. It is females understanding their power. And eventually, the Barbie world will be taken over by feminist ideas in this movie. Let me begin from the start because there is so much. This is a complex movie, all right? This is probably the most complex movie of 2023, okay? I'm sorry. I know everyone would like to think, oh, it's Barbie, it's gonna be this ridiculous. No. It is a complex movie. They make it look like it's a normie movie, but it is not. So there are two universes here. We start in the Barbie universe. And in the Barbie universe, she lives her life. And in the Barbie universe, females have way too much power. So that's a first element that kind of distanciates this movie from pure leftism. The Barbie world of fantastics is a world in which females are the center of everything. Each of the females have their house, so that reminds us of the historical state of Native American tribes, with certain tribes having a matrilinear ownership of the house, and basically the males rotating around and handling intertribe politics, but females having their power grounded in the ownership of the house for their family and for their continuity. So basically, they have presented a form of Native American form of Barbie universe, but in which everything is pink, in which, of course, these females, they are mocking the males, and they are taking them for granted, and they are evil to the males. And Ken is getting friend-zoned. Now, that's another example of this movie morally framing things, not as a leftist movie. The big problem that we see within the first few minutes of the movie is that Ken is beautiful, Barbie is beautiful, everything is perfect. Why don't we get penis to vagina? And this is where it's beautiful. I mean, they even make jokes around, well, we don't have penises and vagina. And Ken wants to sleep with Barbie, and Barbie refuses the advances of Ken, and she says, tonight is girl night. And Ken is and Barbie says, anyways, what would we do if you were to sleep with me? And Ken is like, I don't know. So the Barbie universe exists in a child's mind. The Barbie universe is to be fixed. The Barbie universe is problematic. What is the problem of Barbie universe? Too much female power. Too much female leverage over male. And all of the Kens. And this is one thing that makes me uncomfortable about this movie. I would have liked to see a Barbie and one Ken. And then the supporting characters. But the movie works with the conception that there are many Barbies, because they want to reproduce the true environment of a child's bedroom where there were many copies of Barbie and many copies of Ken. Now, there's only one Barbie played by Margot Robbie and only one Barbie played by Ryan Gosling. So they are the main Barbie. They call them stereotypical Ken and stereotypical Barbie. So they've been assigned to have this form as they come from the store. Now, in Barbie universe, there are other people called Ken and other people called Barbie, and they are used up by a story, just like in a child's bedroom, you know, there's this old Barbie that the child is going to have cut her hair. She's going to have put makeup on her. She's going to, and it's going to be an ugly clown. Now, the beautiful thing is that this ugly clown actually exists in this movie. It's the Marxist lesbian Barbie. They call her Weird Barbie, and she is kind of the wise Barbie that knows everything about when the train of life just rolls over you, just how low you can go. And so here, another framing of this movie that is not leftist, the Marxist lesbian Barbie lives in her house and she doesn't look happy. It's like she really is the reject of this Barbie world, and they really only go see her when they need counseling on mental problems. And so the whole start of this movie is we are in this universe that is totally unfair to males. And Kent, that's problematic for Kent. He's constantly get friend-zoned. And, you know, friend-zoned in a leftist moral movie, friend-zoning would be fine. It would, hey, respect the desires of the female. You have been friend-zoned because she's not interested. What about consent? You have to respect consent. But no, in this movie, it's problematic that Ken is being friend-zoned by Barbie, and there will be a whole direction that the movie takes on this. So the fact that they frame this as a problem is another thing that makes me say this is not a leftist movie. So eventually Barbie feels that there's something wrong. And you know, this something wrong is that I don't remember what happens in the movie, but there's something that she does that is not stereotypical. Like, she has one thought, and she's like, hey, I just had one thought. And people start being alarmed in Barbie land. It's like, no, you shouldn't have thoughts. You're stereotypical Barbie. And so because that's a mental problem, as they assess it, she goes to see the Marxist lesbian with short hair and blue makeup and clownish Barbie that's been raped by time and by the plays of children. So she goes to see this this Marxist Barbie. And of course, the Marxist Barbie throws all sorts of leftist talk to her. And it's like, and she has this whole conception that there must be a rip in the normie versus Barbie universes. And the two universes are colliding. And that is what causes her mental anguish. And therefore, the solution is you have to go into the real world alone to go on a quest for finding yourself and finding back who you truly are. So, and this is so fascinating to me because I listened to the beginning of this movie, not so much the end, but the beginning is all framed like this is a bunch of white people from Republican areas of the US getting sent to LA by the Marxist lesbian short hair Barbie. This is how I experienced the beginning of this movie. It's how it feels very much. And this very scene right here, like, this is Barbie leaving a Republican area and going to LA, basically, to be confronted with reality. So they frame this as physical universes just bumping onto one another. But I see it very much as a layout of modern America and how you get a Mel Gibson fresh from the farm, as he says himself. Fresh from the farm, you get brought to Hollywood, and then you discover things that are more disgusting than you could possibly imagine. That is very much how this is framed. And another thing that is not leftist and not consent-based on this movie is that Ken decides to follow Barbie on her trip to the real physical universe. And he just gets into her car, doesn't ask permission. He brings his rollerblades, and it's like, no, I'm just going to follow you. And that's the moment where he makes this face, is the moment where he shows up. And Barbie realizes she's been carrying him in the car without knowing. She thought she was going to the physical universe alone. But another non-leftist theme, she needs a man to be accompanied to the physical universe. Go Away says, just join the stream. Did JF commit a crime by illegally watching Barbie? Or did he take the Ansel pill and go to the cinema by himself? I went to the cinema, of course. I never do illegal things. So now we have the beginning of the movie. We have a problematic, overly feminine world that crushes men balls and where Kens are not properly appreciated for who they truly are. They are not allowed to shine in this world. Now, they get to the real world. And there's a whole storyline around the CEOs of Mattel basically kidnapping Barbie and trying to convince her to just get back into the stereotypical box. And there's a literal box in which they're asking her to go so they can tie her and put her for sales. It's all very metaphysics in terms of, it's crazy. It's very French as a movie. It's very imaginative. And so when we get into LA, into the physical universe, we get shown a world where there is no pink. Everyone has brown hair. Everyone is ugly. Everyone is fat. That is just what it is. I mean, and Ken, amazingly, this is amazing to me. Ken, coming from Barbie world, where he has been dumped on by the super sexy Barbies that are everywhere, he meets a fat woman in LA. And the fat woman is just, hey, hi, how are you doing? And Ken is like, what? You respect me? Like, you're not treating me like less? And it's like, this is so fascinating. He is honored to just be looked at and respected and talked to politely. Just to not be shunned by the super sexy Barbie is a relief to Ken. That is fantastic to me. And it's another thing that is not leftist about this movie, where the male finds that by lowering his standard a little bit, I mean, in this movie, it's a lot because the woman is really fat. But by lowering his standard, he sees more respect within the feminine hierarchy. The reason he's getting so dumped on is that he is in a world where 10 out of 10 females have way too much powers. And encountering the real world, he feels more respect already. Now, the big part that Ken learns from this interaction with the physical universe is the patriarchy. And, of course, that's a very leftist part of the movie where Ken tries to get a job. And he's like, I'm a man, I should get the job, right? And the CEO is like, no, actually, in fact, these days, it might disadvantage you to be a man. And you're like, whoa, pretty based. Like, this is an admission that diversity hiring practices are effectively anti-male. But then the leftist saving of this movie is that the CEO that wants to hire Ken, he talks more whispering to him and he says, actually, we're totally within the patriarchy. We're just making it look like we're not. So there was one true where you're like, oh my God, based. And then one other true where you're like, oh, well, ultimately it's leftist because secretly the physical world is patriarchal. But anyways, Ken sees a video, a montage video, like the kind of montage I was seeing back in the golden days of Richard Spencer, you know, where they put these Apollonian figures, Greek statues, soldiers, super male golfers, and they're like, man, you can do better. You can be the best version of yourself. That kind of crap. And Ken is like, oh, and like this is how it works. This is what I need to bring back to Barbie world. So Ken goes back to Barbie world and installs a patriarchy. Installs a toxic masculinist version of the patriarchy that he has learned from the physical world. New guy says, golfers, lol. I mean, but that's what it is. In the movie, I believe I've seen a golfer. Like warriors on horses just dominating cities, and then men in armors walking, and then a golfer. But golf, you know how they say that golf means gentlemen only, ladies forbidden, G-O-L-F. That is a symbol of masculinity, whether we like it or not. So Ken goes back to Barbie universe, and he has the dream of bringing back the ingredients of patriarchy, and it takes the form of Barbie Land becoming controlled by males. Males own the Barbie houses now. They have been converted with party material, like, you know, these opening doors of a bar. So that has been installed on the Barbie houses. And it's just men on a couch drinking beer. And they have mini fridges where they store their beer. Basically, those are the additions that have been made to Barbie World. And the males are more dismissive. The males are like, oh, yeah, you want to be my girlfriend? Oh, yeah, I don't know if I want to be your boyfriend. Oh, let me think about it. I don't know. And so people act tough, and it's the toxic masculinist version. So basically, Barbie universe in this movie is framed as the bipolar war between extreme female power and extreme male power. Both toxic in their own way. Now, Barbie comes back to this world, and she brings an actual human in this world. So basically, there's the whole story of a Mexican mother with her teenage daughter, and her teenage daughter is totally revolted against Barbie. She doesn't respect her because she's a symbol of capitalism and misogyny. So she's a modern teenage Marxist. But her mother is a mother who's designing future Barbies, and she's trying to get her ideas pushed into the world as her commercial ideas around new Barbie forms that are less misogynist. But her mother, deeply, despite the fact that she's working to this leftist affair in the world, deep inside, she is still a child, still dreaming of the perfect Barbie, so still having very much respect because she has bonded with this perfect Barbie. So she respects her and wants to help her. So they go back to Barbie world, both Barbie herself and the Mexican woman with her daughter. Again, relatively based in that it is the link between the mother and the child that is important here. And ultimately, Barbie binds back these two conflicting views of femininity. The young teenager Marxist and her mother, who's not quite as Marxist as her, and who's deep inside, she loves the stereotypical cute Barbie. Although she kind of trends toward the Marxism when she designs her new dolls. So they go back to Barbie Land, and they are stunned to find that the Constitution has been reverted by men, that men have taken over power, and that they have installed mini fridges and beer and golfing and all this masculine stuff into Barbie Land. So Barbie, coming back from the real world, is seeing the state of affair, and she starts a revolution. She starts a feminist revolution within Barbie universe against male patriarchy that has been installed by the Constitution. And so they arrange this whole revolution in the house of the weird Barbie, the Marxist lesbian Barbie. So they arrange this revolution, and the plan is to deceive men the plan is to go back to acting like stereotypical Barbies. So for the morning that they start the revolution, they're going to be super kind. They're going to, and Barbie goes back to Ken and she's like, "Oh, I love you, Ken, so much." And Ken is like, because he's in now his new patriarchal self, he's like, "I don't know. I don't know if I want to take you back." "Oh, yeah, let's take her back." And he plays guitar to her for 5 hours. And she stands in front of him like, "Oh, I love it so much when you play guitar." But they're faking. They're acting. This is all a plan for the feminist revolution to go by and for females to take back power in Barbie land. So it's all a deception. They succeed with this plan. The men eventually lose their mind and they go on dancing and singing, and they make a whole choreography where Ken is singing and he's like, "I'm just Ken. I'm just Ken. I'm just Ken." And it's a whole bizarre musical part of the movie, but it works. It kind of works. Being so busy with their male things, of acting and singing, they forget politics, and the females show up to the vote and they take over Barbie land back. They amend the constitution and they remove the patriarchy. Now, of course, that is all very leftist in terms of themes, but what makes me say that the movie still isn't a leftist movie is that throughout this feminist revolution, you can see that Barbie has a discomfort. She's not truly within this. And eventually she will leave the world that she has led to female power coming back. She doesn't want it. You can see she's grimacing when the Marxist lesbian is presenting the plan. She's like, "Oh." It's very clear that Barbie is kind of outside of this revolution. Although she participates to it, makes it happen, she realizes that this is also a plastic world. So the females having taken back power, there's a kind of equilibrium that comes from it, where you see one, you know, the guys are super sad to learn that they have lost political power. But eventually, they explain to each other that, "Hey, you went too far, we went too far, maybe it's better. You know, we're still going to be together." And one Ken is like, "Where's my Barbie? I'm going to be alone." And eventually she shows up and they end up settling a kind of equilibrium of the sexes that is nice to see. When you see this as the outcome of the movie, you realize that the females have taken back power, but they have learned the lesson that there was some good things in this patriarchy. That, you know, the tough behavior of males was attractive. That's what was drawing them. And so we reach a point of quasi-equilibrium where the females of Barbie world decide, "All right, you know, maybe you're not going to be Supreme Court justice because you're just a guy, but we're going to give you some position." And the narrator of the movie at this point states, "The males were giving back some power. They will have to work hard for a long time, but eventually they will reach the point to have the same amount of power as females have in the real world." Now, this sentence is, oh, I'm looking at this sentence and I'm thinking about it. And this sentence is again another illustration of this metaphysics, this movie is out there. Because when you think about this statement, there's the leftist interpretation of it. Okay, so what you're telling me is women are oppressed in the real world. Barbie universe is an inversion of the real world. It's an inversion in that females have all the power and men are trying to get the power, but they are oppressed in that world. And that day that you propose where men will have equal power to what females have in the real world, that day is a day where men are still oppressed. That's the leftist interpretation of this movie. But the more based interpretation of this movie would be, of this sentence would be, the real world is constantly in oscillation, and currently females have a lot of power. And eventually, males of Barbie world will also oscillate up to too much woman power, and they'll oscillate back down. This movie seems that the second interpretation of the sentence is more faithful to the movie. It's more faithful because the movie is all about the equilibrium between the sexes. Now, that is so that becomes Barbie world, this kind of settling down of, okay, we went too far as female, we went too far as male, let's re-equilibrate things, and love will guide us further. Now, this movie, the sense of the movie, you kind of have to dig. The leftist painting of this movie is very thick, but you can get there. Now, at this point, Barbie sees that Ken has no sense of itself, of himself. And that is one part of this movie that I don't like. It's that they separate, basically. She says, you have to find the true Ken, and I have to find the true Barbie, because Ken is desperate, and he's like, I mean nothing without you. I would have liked if Ken and Barbie kind of found a resolution. But they kind of separate, and Ken stays in Barbie world, or we don't know his whereabouts from there. And Barbie says, like, you have to go out there and find the real Ken. And there's this whole very leftist, feminine interpretation here where, oh, Ken slides down a slide and finds his real self. I'm Ken. I'm a man. I'm the real Ken. And he finds himself, the true self that females told him to be. That's kind of sucks, because the true Ken is whatever you were in patriarchy world. It's the guy with a mini fridge. Now, Ken is presented in this moment as a super conflictual psychology type of guy, where he goes to cry to the shoulder of Barbie, and he says, you know, I really didn't like those mini fridges. They only take a six-pack of beer. They can't even store more than this. They're ridiculous. And so he kind of denies the patriarchy as being him. That is a very female moment of this movie. I would simply discard it. You know, sometimes these big productions, they just insert these things to satisfy leftists, and fuck this. So at this point, Barbie meets her maker. She meets God, basically. But her maker is the old woman who conceived of Barbie back in the days. So this is where it gets the most based part of this movie. The maker of Barbie says, I've made you in plastic. I've made you stereotypical. No one can be as beautiful as you, because I made you artificially. Like, I made you to be the most beautiful. But she also says that the world is like this in many ways. She says the physical world is like this. People have their idealistic views of themselves and others and expectations, and it all gets into a fake image of what people really are deep inside. But she says, till there was a function to Barbie, it was giving people dreams. It was young girls creating attachment with a figure, with a model, and that is not bad in and of itself. So then she gives the choice to Barbie of either continuing to be Barbie or becoming human. And Barbie really wants to feel and really wants to get engaged with the reality of being human. So she gets the pass from the maker and becomes human. And that's just the end of the movie, where she becomes human and then she's immediately thrown to a meeting, and the whole thing is presented super grand, like she's entering a big building and you think, what, is she becoming a CEO or a Nobel Prize like she was dreaming at the beginning of the movie? But no, she's entering a clinic, and she's been driven there by her Mexican family. And she's entering a clinic and she says, "Hi, I'm here to see my gynecologist." And there was a key narration before we see this scene. The narrator, who is probably the maker of Barbie, she says, so she changed the plastics of Barbie world for the plastics of LA. And she enters the clinic and she says, "Hi, I'm here to see my gynecologist." And that's the end of the movie. So Barbie, I think we can see this movie as a crisis of a teenager, because someone that lives in the idea of a teenager or child becoming an adult and understanding the real game is reproduction. And yes, I can have some critics of the ideological structure that I had built as a child, you know, the Barbie that I had built as an object in my mind. That is objectification of woman. But the fact is, I'm still an object even when I get into the real world. And the only thing I can do as an object, the best thing I can do, that's the moral of this movie, is to get knocked up, get a baby, and raise them the best I can. Because ultimately, it's not a problem to be an object. It's not a problem to be idealistic. It's not a problem to have dreams that are bigger than reality and that cannot be achieved, because on your way to realize your dream, you're going to become a reproductive female and you're going to participate to the most important thing in life, the maintenance of living being, the continuity of the species, the continuity of life. That is quite a lot. That is quite a heavy content, intellectual content for a movie that presents itself as the Barbie movie. So all in all, I give a rating of 8 out of 10. It is cringe when it's left this, but ultimately, it is a good movie. It is an okay movie. 8 out of 10. It is an heterosexual movie. I stand by it. It is as good as a Barbie movie could be. As good as it could be. Cloud Warmer sent a super chat. He says, "Jeff, there are some people drawing conclusions that Oppenheimer has been released at the same time as Barbie. I don't think it's that deep or strategic, but the themes of trying to make Oppenheimer represented in the modern public consciousness far softer than history would recount is curious to me." I don't know exactly the reason why they got released at the same time. I don't have a conspiracy theory on this. Mark D's channel sends a super chat. "Thank you so much for supporting the show." He says, "JF, salut. Thanks for the show. If not for you, I would have given zero attention to this movie. After decades of movies having a hidden leftist agenda, is this maybe an example of the reverse? Just enough woke frosting to pass the checklist, but the hidden message is more base than expected." That is a beautiful description. That is exactly how I feel about Barbie. They said, "All right, we have to pass the checklist. We have to touch on all these themes. We have to give the diversity hiring actors everything they want. We have to have fat, handicapped, black, brown Barbies." They made everything fit. There's even gay Kens at the end. I mean, just old gay Kens. And they made all of this, but then they still cemented the heterosexuality, the reproduction, the baby making as central to this movie. And the very end can be said to be, well, okay, Barbie didn't get with Ken, but Ken was an idea. Ken was an idea that exists as much in the head of young leftist woman, young Marxist woman. Ken wasn't the real man with the real dick. In fact, Ken had no dick. So he was an ID. And he was a construct of the exaggerated toxic male that exists in the head of the little Marxist girl. And what happened at the end is that Barbie understood she has to get injected sperm from a real Ken. She has to find her Ken in reality. And the Ken of reality will have parts of him that are toxic masculine, parts of it that are feminine, but it's going to be a real Ken. So they kind of totally saved at the end. They totally saved my heartbreak that, hey, why is it that it doesn't work with Ken? It's like, if you understand the full framing of the movie, which is Barbie world is in your imagination. Barbie world doesn't exist. This is a teenager female growing into an adult female. And as she grows into an adult female, she understands that engaging with the imagination of the Marxist on the gender war, it's all plastic. Leave it behind. So let's not forget that this movie doesn't just say capitalism is evil, Barbie world is capitalism and misogyny. They also pack into Barbie world, the Marxist. They are their own plastics. They are the ones who made the original Barbie, the Barbie where females had too much power. And as such, her becoming pregnant is accepting reality that you're not going to go far in life if you let yourself stop from the reproductive line just because some Marxist child is telling you that this is objectifying you. This is reducing you to a baby-producing machine. All of this is the whole ideological baggage in this movie is taken by Barbie, left behind to exist in the ideological world of Barbie universe, which is not a real world anyway, and where Ken doesn't have a penis anyway, and get the penis in reality. That's why, 8 out of 10 is actually conservative, because 8 out of 10 is because of the cringe. But if you talk of just my view of this movie, how I laid it out, and if you remove some of the Marxist crap, I would give it a 9 or 10 out of 10. This is a good movie. John says, Barbie world as you, either you take the pink pill or the turquoise one and remain unreproductive. Exactly. There's even a reference to the blue pill and red pill. as Barbie crosses the universe, the Marxist lesbian Barbie presents her with two shoes. And one is like, you can take this pink shoe and remain Barbie forever. Or you can take this ugly brown shoe and see the reality of LA. That is so, so funny. That is so funny. I love this movie. I love this movie. Oh my God. Kadir says, very surprising rating, Jeff. Nice to hear a different perspective. Go away, says Jeff. So can I take my 10-year-old niece to see this movie? She really wants to see it. Doesn't sound very child appropriate for a fucking Barbie movie. No, that's the beautiful thing, is that everything I just laid out is an existing layer of interpretation that a child will not see at all. The child will just see pink and glitter, and that will be it for the child. You can totally bring a child to see this movie. That's what's crazy about this movie, is that they have decided to somehow lay out this whole structure I just laid out onto a movie that looks like a crappy, meaningless movie. Cloud Warmer says, Jeff, why are so many people stupid? I don't even mean low IQ as the only input. I mean as though we are surrounded by biological vessels that have only a rudimentary generalized AI driving them. I know you've addressed that evolution may not always bias for intelligence, but this is ridiculous. But I mean, what do you expect? Like, we've made a world in which you really don't have to be clever to survive. People are delegating the teaching to their children, to the state now. So you don't even have to be intelligent enough to teach basic elementary school stuff. People have a single job where they will do a single thing, and they're precisely expected not to get out of the boundaries, you know, not to be creative, just do this thing very well, just screw this crew. And so as long as we can live stupid, we will be stupid. Silver Spider says, hey, Jeff, even though the conclusion of your review is that the baby making is the center to this movie, could this just be leftist business as usual, where they try to imply we can have all this leftist crap plus some normies baby making? That's usually their idea of balance. Yeah, but deeply, when I look at this movie and the decision of Barbie, she understands her interest as different from the gender war. She leads a world in which females have taken over power again, and she abandons it. She says to the modern females, even if you get what you want with this whole Marxist revolution of the modern world, this is a world that you wouldn't want to live in. You'd rather leave it. So if feminists take power too much in our society, the message of this movie is you're going to want to leave this world. You're going to want to live elsewhere and get a baby there. That is what is so profound and so beautiful. That is why I can't see this movie as a leftist movie. Ultimately, Barbie understands that she's a 10 out of 10. And as a 10 out of 10, she deserves the best male. She doesn't deserve one of the cucks that have been taken over by the feminist in Barbie land. She deserves a real man, and she goes into reality to find him, despite having taken political power and led successfully a revolution in Barbie land. So to me, no, there's no like leftist saving of this movie. There's no way you can see this movie as leftist. This movie is telling young woman, the revolution you want to do is ridiculous. You're going to hate yourself, and you're going to hate the world that you're trying to create. I mean, that is as based as a Barbie movie can be. I'm kind of annoyed at the way Ken is represented in this movie as a surfer bro. Sometimes with, pimp rapper type of clothes. To me, Ken has always been this guy. A guy with a tie, a suit. That is Ken. They've chosen to represent Ken more like a surfer bro, a cowboy. Like, I wasn't familiar with those Kens. Like this, that's not the kind of Ken I knew about. To me, Ken has always been this super suited, serious guy. DK Shadow says, that's Beach Ken. Well, I had never heard about Beach Ken, you see. So, okay, they've decided to take a specific Ken, and they went with the movie with it. But to me, Ken is CEO Ken. It's Ken in a suit of marriage to marry Barbie. But I guess that such a Ken wouldn't have led to such an interesting movie, so that's why they got the dude bro of the beach. And there are fight scenes in this movie that are fucking hilarious. involving Alan. The fight scene are fucking hilarious, because they are somewhere between a movie that actually professionally tried to do a nice fight scene, but also this kind of crazy movie that doesn't care and that makes it funny. It is, I was fucking laughing my ass off just the way Alan, at some point in the revolution, he just goes full ninja onto 8 patriarchal construction workers. it is kind of laughing at the history of ninja movies. There's so much in this movie. It's crazy. You should definitely watch it. So that's it for my review of Barbie. Let's have a look at some of the other news before we close the show. Go Away says, I had a real great dream the other night where I was dating Margot Robbie and JF was covering it on his show, but then he accidentally doxed me, even though I asked him not to, and it turned out into a nightmare worrying about all my JFG Tonight chats being attached to my real identity. Wow, you are dreaming very scary dreams. Okay. Well, I hope that you'll be recovering from it mentally. X is the future of unlimited interactivity centered in audio, video, messaging, payments, banking, creating a global marketplace for IDs, goods, services, and opportunities powered by AI. X will connect us in all ways we're just beginning to imagine. Elon has announced that he would rebrand Twitter as X. He even said it could be in the next few days. He just wants a nice logo. And he says that the bird will be going away. That is fantastic in my view. There can only be good emerging from this. I hope that this doesn't mean Elon will be closer to the financial world and will get more scared around the free speech issue and will get more banning and more tempted to censor. But if he can retain his temptation, and if that means only supplementary functionality, then I'm super excited about it. Elon Musk says he will change its logo to X. Billionaire owner says he will soon bid adieu to the company's brand and all the birds. DK Shadow says, what will a message on X be called now? Exit? No, I think people will retain tweet because it's become such an important part of culture that even if I tweet on Truth or if I tweet on Gab, I say I tweeted something. So I think that people will retain this idea I've been tweeting. But it's fine. You'll be tweeting on the X platform. Riding the tiger and tweeting is really what it is. You know, blah, blah, blah. It's expressing your IDs. Riding the tiger says, terrible ID in my opinion. Rebranding something as established as Twitter is a bad commercial move. Yeah, but when you see the vision is, imagine a world in which you only go to one place to talk politics, but sell, RCA video wires at $4.99. That is a beautiful view. And imagine that you go to this place to receive donations, to do super chats, to change cryptos, to exchange stuff, to sell, to deliver, to ship, to have a bank, to have an account. That would be absolutely fantastic. And now the climate gang is coming for our thermostats. So apparently there are increasing pressure on, there would be laws that make and smart thermostats force, but then the smart thermostat, of course, is a thermostat that takes into account the demands of the state in terms of you need to shut down at this hour of the day, you need to be more easy on the grid at this hour of the day. Oh, we got an emergency now, it's a grid emergency, so now the state will be able to shut down your thermostat themselves. That is communism coming at the door here. Aquanote says, Elon Musk as a brand is much more valuable long-term than Twitter. Renaming it to X is basically just branding like a Tesla product, which people are crazy to buy. Yes, I agree with you. Twitter as at its days, it would become cringe anyways. Might as well do the conversion brand-wise, you know. Cloud Warmer says, go away. If you were doxxed for fucking Margot Robbie, you would have access to so much fertility there wouldn't be enough supplements or bananas available for you to produce enough semen to impregnate all of those women you attracted via social proof. JF doxxing you would raise you to Genghis Khan status. Exactly. That is true. It crossed my mind when he described his mental anguish. If you fuck Margot Robbie, there are no problems. There are no problems in your life. It's all going to be good from there. Like, there is no price that is not worth paying. There is nothing that you should be afraid of. Just go into Margot Robbie. It's absurd. Miss Italy bans biological males from beauty pageant. Well, that doesn't sound absurd at all. Saying that all entrants must be a woman from birth. Well, yeah, I mean, we had this problem that males have just become too good at at looking like women in these contests. So they were better women than the very woman. So, and at some point you have to point to a disadvantage. It's like, the real woman, she has to carry all of the reproductive organs inside of her. She has, she faces difficulty. You know, she has to sacrifice her most fertile years to go onto these pageants and just look beautiful. And at this point, men were totally owning women at the beauty contest type of thing, beauty pageant. Not that I was personally finding them beautiful, but they were objectively just winning. So they were winning too much. It's time to create a safe space for biological women so that they can compete at their level between themselves. Rudy Lucid says, it's never the other way around. It's never trans men that are dominating traditional men's domains, it's always trans women. Yes, and I think that ultimately this has to do with the psychology of the receptor, the psychology of the audience. Like, we are not, just like in the Ken movie, basically, in the Barbie movie, Ken doesn't attract sympathy. A man doesn't attract sympathy. They cannot, because if they ask for sympathy, then they're being too feminine. And by default, if they don't ask for sympathy, well, they don't get sympathy. Whereas people are willing to listen to a female form, like our brain are tuned to say, oh, here's a woman who's suffering. Let us try to fix her issue. And I think that the trans woman is capable of recruiting that empathy, but that the trans man is getting treated like a man, and a man doesn't get sympathy. So in a way, you could say that this is one of the great successes of the trans community. They have effectively achieved the recruitment of the empathic brain, as we should expect in their desired gender. Cloud Warmer says, JF, could you do a TRP-themed modern ice cream yum 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 money-making stream? TRP no no no. Oh, genetic interference, spicy. Impregnated naturally, gang gang! Okay, you want me to do this in the style of these streams? Ice cream, yum yum yum. TRP, no, no, no. Oh, genetic interference, spicy. Impregnated naturally, gang, gang. Oh my God, this trend, unbelievable. Last news item for tonight. visualizing America $20 trillion economy by state. I'm always shocked when I see the size of California and New York. It's like, these mega states that become irredeemably leftist, they still have the big money on their side. California, maybe in part because of the big tech sector and all of the industries that converge to these two leftist states, you know, media, that kind of stuff. Interesting to see this graph of the state of current America. So that is it for tonight, boys. Don't forget that I'm headed toward a vacation at the end of the week. Let's have a look at my current schedule. So Tuesday, I will be on Richard Spencer, maybe not live. But for those of you who are members, I think you can join the Zoom call, or he's going to put some clips later on his Substack. So that is Tuesday, the 25th. And then on the 28th, it will be the last show before my vacation. So I'll go see family, I'll go relax, I'll go do nothing for 4 days. So I will be on vacation Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And I'll come back Wednesday on the 2nd. So we have 5 more days together of regular shows. And then Defenestrator says, going to Barbie Land, Jeff. No, because the Barbie movie convinced me. Reality is irreplaceable.